inner hall of life.
Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black polyamorous feminist hoe living in New York City.
And me, Rodeca, one fat black pansexual whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her
here. So, we have two types of episodes on this show if you've never heard this show before. We have group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of this show, and boss bitch supreme. No, I'm just kidding. Just the principal host.
That's exactly how she views herself. I don't know why she acts like that.
And one of my rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and race. And on group episodes, all of the hosts, right now that's me, Rodeca, and Akua, are... fourth co-host Rob is out of town.
So casual. Out of town.
Is going to be away for about a year. But on those episodes, we come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This episode happens to be an interview episode.
And today we will be talking to Lydia Bonilla, a Black Latina entrepreneur in the sex tech industry. But before we get into that, we'll do a couple of short segments. Bay of the Week.
Where we talk about people who we find attractive.
Ho of the Week.
Where we shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week.
Where we give you some advice on how to take care of yourselves.
Pay a hoe.
We beg for money that we desperately need.
And fuck it.
Which is our topic of the day, and we'll be speaking to Lydia Bonilla.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it.
Mm-hmm. And if you would like to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to do so. So please, to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
So let's go to the next topic, and that is... is Bay of the Week.
Hey, so I want you to go to twitter.com/_kswole because this is the most attractive person that I've ever seen in my entire life. So Kswole is, I guess, a stud with big old muscles and tattoos.
Ooh.
Who lifts and is a Slytherin. I don't know if you know that about me, but I am also a Slytherin.
Are you a Slytherin?
Yeah, I wanted to be a Ravenclaw. And then
I was about to say, I've always seen myself as a Ravenclaw, but I haven't. Is there like a quiz?
On Pottermore, yeah.
Like
I took it twice.
Oh, and it's on Pottermore.
Yeah,
Pottermore,
I took it so twice, and they were just like, bitch, you're fucking evil. No, they were like, you're cunning.
Oh, okay.
And ambitious.
Well, that's another way of saying you're
and also evil.
I don't know what that's about.
You're a fucking cunt. But so is Kswole. No, just kidding. I really shouldn't call my future wife that. Hey, Zaddy. Oh, she's a power lifter. Wow. So yeah, I encourage everyone to go to twitter.com/what? Go to @_Kswole and get your fucking...
Twitter.com.
Oh no, she's 23. She is young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's 23.
Do you think we're young?
We are young.
I don't think I'm young anymore.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like I'm not young because when I was young, I would look at people who were 25 like, damn, you're old.
Oh yeah.
And now I'm just like, ugh.
I've had conversations with people who, like, once I got referred to as ma'am, I knew it was over for me. Like, my life is done. That's it.
But that will happen. But like yesterday, for example, I was at work like, oh my God, I need to figure out what I'm doing with my life. I'm only 25. And my coworkers were like, you're just a little baby girl. Shut up.
No,
and
but
I was like, I'm ancient.
Even saying
and
only 25 doesn't sound right to me anymore. I'm like, someone said to me.
Exactly.
The same,
like,
very
I feel
similar.
Like I'm only 23, but 25.
Like, I was like,
you're
I'm
over the
fucking
hill.
Grown. What are you talking about?
I'm a grown ass motherfucker and you will treat me as such. Exactly. That's that weird stage where you're like not old enough, but you're still just a little bitch.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fuck this age. My other bae of the week is Melissa Lozada Olivia, who wrote this poem called Bitches. I mean, basically, she was just like, yeah, my whole family was bitches. And we're the bitches who are like, yeah, take a whole picture of my outfit, bitches. And just like being unapologetic about who you are and not asking for forgiveness or whatever.
Yes.
And also, she is also hot, so...
A lot of hot people today.
I mean, that's what you would hope from Bay of the Week.
Like, I would hope so.
Niggas out here making Shirley Chisholm.
I mean, we still like people for their personalities out here.
I just
Since
diss
when?
Shirley Chisholm.
Oh my God. I didn't even
but just
hear
because,
you say that.
Was she really your bae? Yeah, she was a great lady, but
Shirley
she's dead.
Chisholm
she's literally not your bae. Like, she's fucking dead, bro.
Why would you ever do that?
Because I
Shout
am a Slytherin.
Shirley. Don't play like
I'm
that,
I'm a Slytherin
man.
And I'm a bitch.
She's
Notice the trend
me.
In the people who I chose for Bays of the Week.
That's true.
Unapologetically about our shit.
So your Bay of the Week is just going to be people who reinforce everything that
that's wrong with
I
me.
Hate about you.
Yes. I'm nice to you. I'm nice to like six people in the world.
Yeah. And now on to Ho of the Week.
Mm-hmm. S. Gulb and Max A., who, in addition to myself, 3 years ago, rated us on Stitcher about 7 and 6 months ago. And people act like Stitcher doesn't exist and people can't write reviews on Stitcher. You can't on the mobile app, and that's why no one does it. But these people took the fucking time out to go to the website. Who uses those anymore? And left a review. And for that, we appreciate you.
We love you.
Yes. In addition to them, we have Diamond Styles, who is the host, one of the three hosts of Marsha's Plate Trans Talk, which is a very great podcast that I enjoy. She has two other co-hosts who are very funny and lovely and say great things and very insightful things. And this week, she was very moved by our previous week's episode where we were talking to Kim about the intersection of sexuality and disability. And she said that she just made it clear how much that episode resonated with her and how much she appreciates the work that we do over here at Inner Heart Uprising. And I just want to shout that out back, that we appreciate the work that she's doing over there with Marsha's Plate Trans Talk. The link for their podcast will be in the description of this podcast. And thank you so much for your kind words, Diamond. In addition to that, we have Travis T, Ashley J, Renee R, who, these are all people who paid a bitch, but Renee R wrote a very nice note about it. We have Brian B, we have Intelligent AJ, and we have Jason EG, who fucking paid
Jason!
Us.
Jason! My nigga Jason!
He dropped a stack, or is it a rack? I don't know.
I think it's a rack.
So a stack is
$1,000? No, it's a stack.
Oh, okay.
A rack is $1,000.
Yeah, he dropped a stack, which... It's a rack in my eyes.
My heart.
Yeah, thank you. Also, the good friend Money over at Queer Walk Podcast, who gave us some money in the PayPal and then also said community. And I'm so happy to foster community with other dope-ass Black podcasters, which we'll be talking about a little bit later. But I personally just wanted to get real intimate for a moment and say, do you know what imposter syndrome is?
No.
Wow, you're an imposter. Basically, it's this feeling that you can sometimes get in what you do, like feeling that you're not good enough or you don't actually have the skills for it or whatever.
Me, do I?
Yeah, so I definitely feel like that in regards to being both a podcast and video producer at various points of time in my life with this show and also at work and just as a content creator in general. So it's nice to have people affirming the work that we do with Inner Heart Uprising. I don't know, I feel like I personally exist in this weird space where I'm just like, I'm fucking great. And then I'm also just like, what?
Literally, don't even describe it. Everyone knows what that
means. That's just what it feels like.
What?
Just like at your computer, like, what the fuck is going on? I don't know how to use this at all.
Oh, God. Yeah. And I think I definitely, other people who listen, they don't know us. And the fact that you're reaching out and you feel some like touched or informed or anything, feel anything
based
off of us just doing what we like to do for you guys and also for each other. Like, it's dope. It's really dope, and that's what keeps us going, honestly. Yeah,
seriously.
For sure.
And the money.
And mostly the money.
Don't cancel your Patreon subscriptions or anything or whatever, like that, but like...
The money.
Keep the kind words coming as well. Let's go on to self-care tip of the week.
And do you... I mean, I don't know.
Right, my first one was dismantle capitalism, but whatever. That's just like a self-care tip of the life.
Okay.
But my real one is, and this is also stupid, but like, take off those fucking tight-ass jeans, Sam, because now you have yeast infection.
Oh!
And it hurts
again?
And slightly burns.
What do you mean again?
This has been happening on and off throughout my life in general. I mean, it doesn't happen that often.
I've never had one before.
That's nice. Are you sure?
That's, I swear to you, I was about to say, I think
I used to confuse yeast infections for general vaginal discomfort, but now I definitely, like, having had the worst yeast infection I ever had, which was maybe like a year and a half ago when the gynecologist laughed at me and said, yeah, that's a yeast infection.
Oh, shit. She put the microscope, like, right at the tip and was like, oh, shit, bitch.
I walked in the door, she was like, there's a yeast infection right there.
You hear about the yeast infection? Let me just give you your medication.
Yeah, but that one was like extreme. Like, it hurt. Like, my pussy hurt.
Yeah.
My pussy was hurt.
So what is it? What is it? If the worst is pain, what do you mean?
So the worst
discomfort?
Was really bad pain.
Okay.
But right now, like, it feels like a tight stiffness, like,
okay,
by my clit.
Yeah.
Which I definitely had felt before.
Okay.
And I didn't actually peg those as yeast infections,
okay,
or whatever. And then also there's no smell, but there is like my discharges of that consistency.
Okay.
It's not like super chunky as fuck, but I feel like I have a slight yeast infection.
Got it.
And I gotta pop some Flucanazole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had one.
Well,
I mean,
there you go. That's like, have you had BV? What do you have, the fucking
I've
monster
had a UTI
pussy down
before.
There? Wow.
Is the UTI like worse?
No, I'm just like, you're living your life. Yeah. I mean, because people usually have all three often. Yeah. So that's nice. That's
never.
Good. I'm happy for you.
Thanks.
What's your, I mean, just take off the jeans. What's your self-care tip of the week?
Mine is sweat the small stuff. I was trying to be cute, but it's also like, yeah. Because I realized, and I had a conversation with somebody. I was at work and like, we were in an interview. And the interviews are kind of, we kind of go off track when we're interviewing somebody. We try and make it personable and relatable. Mm-hmm. So she was saying how she went to BMCC. And I was like, oh, I went to BMCC too. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, but I didn't even, I was like, that's funny. I didn't even pick up my diploma. And like, and my boss stopped and was like, what? I was like, I didn't pick it up. Like, I graduated, but it just happened so fast that
yeah,
I just moved on.
Yeah.
Because for me, it was just like, okay, that's not what my end goal is though. Like, mm-hmm. What's an associate's, you know? And like everyone.
An accomplishment.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so it was like, I'm trying to internalize that, but it's like, it's been over a year. It's been like a year and a half now since mm-hmm. I graduated. So mm-hmm. it's like, it's just sitting there collecting dust. And I'm saying sweat the small stuff because there's this big thing where it's like, oh, the journey and da 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 da, and like, oh, you're at your, but sometimes you're so obsessed with the end point that mm-hmm. like you don't even take any time to look back at anything that you've done that was good.
Yeah, true.
And that's definitely something I struggle with. I struggle with being pretty much obsessed with what the end product is, that like I'm never satisfied with what's going on right now, which mm-hmm. obviously triggers me feeling depressed, because it's like, how can you feel like happy if you feel like you're never at the goal, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what happens to people, like when they do reach the goal and they're not happy mm-hmm. because they're like, this was supposed to be it, like where's the confetti? Mm-hmm. So I say that to say, because this is actually a positive thing, because I know sometimes I, you know,
this bitch, yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
But it was because I actually recorded a video of myself, and I recorded a video of myself because I'm corny like that, and I was like, I wanted you to see what happiness looks like, even if it's just for a moment. And I was like, yeah, it's not, and I talked to myself because I was like, yeah, it's not, you know, the thing that you have in your head, this is it, like I'm happy.
Yeah.
And like, I hope you look back at this and say like, this, it can look like different things. And I want you guys to look at yourself, and when you're happy, just be like, this is what that Kodak moment is for you. Because sometimes when, and I equated it to like when you're sick, mm-hmm. you know, when you're sick and your nose is stuffy
and you miss the
and
moments,
you don't
when it
know when, you don't even know what it was like to breathe.
yeah.
You're like, oh my God, when was the last time I breathed through my nostrils? You know,
yeah.
Like that's what it can feel like sometimes. You don't know what true. Happiness or accomplishment feels like when you're down in the dumps, when you feel like you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
So like, take that moment, sweat it, say, oh shit, I got out of bed this morning.
Seriously.
What?
Yeah.
That's a big deal, you know, if you haven't gotten out of bed for the past 3 days. So I'm just saying, sometimes take the time to feel it.
That was such a great self-care tip of the week. Yeah. I love having you guys on this show.
You know,
y'all are some smart ass niggas.
We try.
If it worked for you in that moment,
it
then it fucking worked.
For sure.
And that's all that matters.
See? I just did it. I can't
Yay.
Help it. Woo!
Sweat the small
sweat
stuff.
Sweat the small stuff.
And now sweat us and pay us.
Yes.
If you enjoyed that, go to paypal.com/innerho.
Put some money on
right,
it.
Yeah, paypal.me/innerho. If you'd like to help sustain the Innerho Uprising podcast monetarily, you can do so officially by going to innerhouprising.com and clicking the tab Pay a Ho. You can go to paypal.me/innerho. Takes you to the same place. You can buy merchandise. New merchandise coming up. You can also use the sponsor codes used in not this, but previous and future episodes, because when you support our sponsors, you do support us. You can also now support a Ho on a monthly basis by subscribing to Patreon and receive perks while you're doing it. It's an easy way to throw some dollars monthly towards the show, because studios, transportations, and events ain't cheap, and as you can see, every show is not sponsored. If you're able and you'd be so kind to visit our Patreon, which is patreon.com/innerhouprising, and donate $2, which will give you access to private IHU gatherings. I don't know which one is next, but it's coming, baby. It's coming. Summer's coming up. We should do a barbecue or something.
We should.
We're gonna do a barbecue, and if you're not on Patreon, you're not fucking invited.
That's it.
And for the price of $5 a month, you can get all that, as well as access to some exclusive behind the scenes video content like this show, like this episode, for example, perfect for people who want to see uncut scenes, the porn of the Innerho Uprising. You can donate less or more, so anything from $1 a month to $1 zillion a month, anything is much appreciated. This is just a more consistent way to pay a Ho. For example, if you're just like, oh, I forgot to do it last month, this will just take it out of your card.
Don't even have to think about it.
It's exactly what, it's less than what Apple Music does.
Yeah.
to support your favorite host.
Yeah. Speaking of support.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are supporting each other.
Woo!
Nice segue.
Want to help us out and win some free IHU merch at the same damn time?
I would love to.
I know you would.
Yeah.
We're running a special contest for spring, and all you have to do to enter is rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Nice.
By doing this, you're helping us pop up on lists that Apple curates. This will help
like
us.
Like Top of Sexuality, for example. Exactly. We have the best sexuality podcast out there. Dr. Drew, who is that? Sex nerd Sandra, I don't know her. Inner Hoe Uprising, we should be at the fucking top of that list. Rate and review us, please.
This will help expose us to new listeners and sustain us in the long run. If you want to participate, it's easy. All you have to do is follow the link, and that will be in the description of this episode. Mm-hmm. Then hit the purple subscribe button at the top of the page, scroll down to rating and reviews, click the button, write a review, tap 5 stars. No 4 stars, no 3 stars. Five stars only.
This is a quality show here.
All right. Write a nice title and review, and finally hit send. We will randomly be selecting a winner who we will announce by the end of spring. So stay tuned.
Yes, it's the spring cleaning of podcasts. Also, two notes. If you run into the situation where your review is not going through, it's probably because your nickname was too generic. So if I make my nickname Sam, it'll just block it. So you just have to cancel it, go back, make your nickname something else, like Sam 4876532.
Okay.
And then you'll probably get it. Who's the first person who's going to use that one? I said two notes, but that was my only note. So let's go into another advertisement.
Don't you love this?
So before we get into the actual show, we're going to take a moment to read a message from our friends and us. Are you a podcaster, an aspiring podcaster, or a podcast fan? Do you love Black community? Are you located in or around New York City and down for a good time? If you answered yes to any or all of the above, then damn, have we got an event for you. On April 21st, 2018, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. in Manhattan, New York, Inner Hoe Uprising will be partnering with our good friends T with Queen and Jay.
Hey.
And some of our other good podcast friends to bring you Pod In Live NYC. A free party where you can kick it with some of your favorite people of color podcasters. We'll drink, we'll laugh, I might even twerk on your face, or challenge you to a Millie Rock battle. Who the fuck knows? The only thing you need to do is RSVP on Eventbrite by following the link in the description of this episode. Spots are filling up pretty quickly, so don't forget to RSVP, and we will see you there.
We will.
Now we're going to get into the actual show now with our main segment, which is...
Fuck it!
To the topic of the day. That's a party on the weekend. Today we're speaking about women, the sex tech industry, and our lovely guest today, Lydia Bonilla.
Lydia Bonilla is a design innovator, change agent, and sought-after expert. She's the founder of House of Plume, creator of the Moi Box, and co-founder of Women of Sex Tech. She speaks on topics ranging from sex and communities of color and dismantling sexual taboos to the nuts and bolts of turning an idea into a real product.
Woo! Woo! Welcome.
Hello. Hello. Hi. Hello. I'm so excited to be here.
Happy to have you here. So I guess we can start it off. How, why, and when did you get into the sex tech industry?
It all happened really by accident. So I had a personal organizer come to my house, and she was looking through my drawers in my bedroom, and she discovered my sex toys. And I was like, oh my God, you know, sort of embarrassed. I asked her, you know, where do people put this? You know, we talked about different options. I was like, none of that is cute.
What kinds of options did she give?
Like, you know, plastic boxes. She was like, yep, some people put them in bins, shoe boxes, you know, just like random plastic bags, stuff that's just totally random.
Yeah.
And also just like not design centric. Mm-hmm. So I looked for a product myself. I looked for jewelry boxes and tried to take out the insert and that didn't fit. And then I just eventually just forgot about it. And then one day when my vibrator broke, I went into Babeland. I had a bad day at work. And I was like, I said, you know, by the way, do you guys have any storage products for adult toys? And the person was like, no, but, you know, we get that question a lot. And I went, oh, well, I'll just make one.
Yeah.
There you go.
And
really
so the like entrepreneur within you just awakened.
So, I mean, I've always, you know, been an entrepreneur, like as far as always doing my own thing. I've been a compliance expert and did that freelance for years. I've had, you know, since college I have had one full-time job. So, you know, it was just a discovery into something different that I've sort of already always done anyway, which is like, you know, become fixated on something, learn everything about it, and then put it into motion and create it.
Mm-hmm. And what were the like actionable steps that you took once that idea sparked in your head? Did you like quit your old job or?
So the very first thing is I actually posted something on Facebook.
Nice.
And that was like
very millennial.
Yeah. It was like, does anyone else have the same issue?
Mm.
You know, does anyone else wonder where to put sex toys?
Mm-hmm.
And most people didn't like want to like reply, like they didn't want to like post, but they would message me or like
of course,
text me.
The DMs.
Yeah. Yeah, the DMs. Like, and then it'd be like, yeah, I put them in, right now I have my sock drawer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I was
like,
where mine is.
In yeah. The sock drawer. Yeah. So, and that's the other thing I discovered is that people burrow them under things. It's something I think it's really psychological about people's sexuality that they want to hide it. So they put it under socks, under the bed, mm-hmm. In the closet.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, like that people just kind of do that subconsciously.
Yeah. And could you talk about why you think that is? We have some like weird stats here regarding sex toys, like the fact that Alabama still criminalizes the sale of sex toys, for example.
That's so crazy.
And Texas,
Alabama's is crazy.
It just became legal in Texas in 2008, but you can only own 6 sex toys in Texas. No limit on how many guns you can own, but you can only own 6 sex toys.
First of all, that's ridiculous. Really, because that does, it's not even statistically, that's like not even accurate according to
the people who are buying them.
The people who are buying them. Like yeah. if you go to like places like Texas, the sex toy stores are like supermarkets. They're
yeah.
huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like all over.
Mm-hmm.
So people are clearly buying them.
Yeah.
So the idea you can only have 6, that's
how
so
they
silly.
Even enforce that?
Like, how they even enforce
that? It's just
that.
One of those dumb laws that's still on the books,
they
right?
They just knock down your door like, and they're like, I heard you have 7 sex toys in there.
You have 7
Open
dildos.
Up.
Yeah. But why do you think that shame is still there in like this society that it kind of like sex is permeated in our society, but still sex toys are like, I don't own one of those, or I don't want my roommate to like hear me using my vibrator or whatever.
Sex is the expression of sex. A lot of times is there's a duality mm-hmm. that's involved. So there is the public face of it and there's a private face. And the public face, at least in Western society, is that, you know, you have to be like outwardly sexual, you know, mm-hmm. like people are really outwardly sexual, but they're not, it's not necessarily healthy. You know, they're mm-hmm. They're not satisfied. There's a level of dissatisfaction and you're expected to be like, you know, be into all these things or just the expression of it is really like backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a healthy conversation around sex, I think, in particularly in the U.S.
And so on your website, you kind of speak to that with your goal with your company House of Plume by saying sex toys deserve better than a shameful, messy hiding place.
Yes, absolutely.
So what were you thinking as you were creating the Moi Box and House of Plume?
Well, one of the things about design is that certain barriers are actually room for creativity.
Mm.
So the one barrier that I had is that I had a nightstand that didn't have a drawer and I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm not going to get a nightstand with a drawer.
Yeah.
So what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, all right, I'll just create something where you can actually leave it out. In leaving it out, it would have to be elegant. It would have to fit in with people's decor. You know, it can't scream sex toys. It can't scream. This is something sinister going on in here. And it has to be functional. So really by having that limitation of, oh, I'm not going to put this in the drawer, really allowed for creativity in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so that also led to the design of it being neither too masculine or too feminine,
mm-hmm.
which was important to me
mm-hmm.
Because I'm girly about certain things, but I'm not girly about design. Like I have a fuchsia wall in my room, but I also have like a calf rug. You know? So it's like, there's like a balance that I like to see and experience in design.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want it to be outwardly feminine because also men interact with sex toys. Half mm-hmm. of my customers are actually men buying these boxes for women.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to interact with something that's like what is that? And also women don't either.
So you did say that you were taking into consideration design and functionality. Mm-hmm. So what was the end product? Like, what are the features that make it better than obviously a sock drawer or anything like that?
Yeah. So for one, it's accessible. So, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times when people put toys and they hide them from themselves, they actually forget that they have them. So it's all in one place. That's one. Two, it has a lock. And so if you're concerned about, you know, privacy, whether it's children, cleaning people that come over, what have you, it has a lock. Mm-hmm. And also you're able to, due to the design in the back, you're able to store and charge them at the same time.
Ooh. That is so cool. That yeah. is so cool.
Because that's what we thought too. We was like, wait a minute, what are we going to do with the cords? A lot of these things are rechargeable yeah. now. Mm-hmm. And then in order to charge them, some of them take a couple of hours to charge.
Yeah.
So like, okay, what do you do in the meantime while they're charging? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we created like a slit in the back so that, you know, people can do that.
And what does it look like in terms of design? Like, what color is it?
So it comes in two colors. One mm-hmm. is like a smoky gray. And like a deep eggplant. The box also comes with a travel case because we thought about when you need to travel either to the bed with something or you need to like travel, you know, on a plane, mm-hmm. like how can you move with them? Mm-hmm. And so the case is also has an antibacterial coating. It's waterproof. You know, we thought about all the things that kind of go wrong, mm-hmm. you yeah. know. Insects mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. generally lubricant always spills. I don't care how good the yeah. design they like, it always spills. And oils, those oils yeah. always spill. Yeah.
And then like the travel case has like straps, right?
Yes. So it has straps mm-hmm. so that, you know, you can keep them secure, like they don't move around.
Yeah.
Because that's like something else for me too. I don't like to see things cluttered up. Mm-hmm. Also don't want them to touch. Some mm-hmm. toys actually shouldn't touch mm-hmm. because of the material might you know, mm-hmm. they might get damaged. Mm-hmm.
And then also I was thinking about like if you're going through TSA or something like that and they yes, have to.
Exactly. Yeah. So it you can just open it. You know, if it goes off, they don't have to actually touch it and yeah. take it out and yeah. do, you know, the whole show that some people have experienced at airports.
Mm. What?
Yeah, girl, they do all kinds of things. You know, like, oh, what you got in here? Oh, hey.
Sometimes TSA agents are the worst.
They are the worst.
Sometimes they can sexually harass you.
Yeah, like, that's true.
You know, there's not much else going on. Yeah. And exactly. So here you come with, yeah. like, a butt plug. And they're like, what? What is that, girl?
Let me pull it out. Imagine yes. somebody touching a sex toy, like a TSA agent pull it out. And like, I'm like, are you going to replace it? Because your exactly. hands are on it now.
You're exactly. right.
That goes in my body.
Exactly. And then that's why would you want to, like, I guess they're wearing their gloves.
Whatever. Yeah.
What size is the box? Like, what fits in it? What doesn't?
It fits most toys mm-hmm. with the exception of like the really like the really big toys. So we designed it so that it fits, you know, most toys.
So going back to the design and the aesthetic. Mm-hmm. First of all, like, just plume as a word, yeah. that's indicative of...
It's indicative of, like, a feather. Mm-hmm. It's really what it yeah. means is a feather. The tickling of it, the tickle that it creates, sort of the tease.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. So for the website in general, it kind of gives me, like, this 1920s flapper elegant vibe. Mm, and okay. then the moi box gives me kind of, like, this elegant vibe. So I feel like you're taking this... like elegant highbrow approach to your company and your products.
Absolutely. You? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the reason behind that?
I'm bougie.
I'm stush.
I'm bougie.
Which, love it. How would you contextualize that with other sex products out there or sex products that we've seen? Because I know, like, growing up in high school, we would, like, run into, like, sex stores and stuff like that. And everything yep. would be, like, gaudy and, like, in your face. And yes. this is, like, very...
plasticky and weird and yeah. just... Yeah.
Pink for women. Extremely pink.
Everything is extreme. Yeah. in design, that's called pink it and shrink it.
Pink it and shrink it.
Yeah. So... up to, you know, probably I'd say into the last 5 years, mm-hmm. what design companies would do or manufacturers, they wanted to make a product for women, they mm-hmm. would either make it pink or make it smaller.
That's what we mm-hmm. like.
Pink and small.
Yeah.
You got like us down to a T.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the approach was definitely to stand out from the expression of other things that you see in the sex industry. Mm-hmm. A lot of what's been created was really male dominated, mm-hmm. and it's been created by men who weren't actively asking what women want.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it had a tinge of like porn and all that, which is also very male-centric.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted to create something that was elegant because I don't think that sex is gross. And yeah, it doesn't have to look gross.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also about engaging the senses. So it's why it's important that, like, the box itself, it's lacquered, it's smooth to the touch.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, sensuality is about really engaging, you know, everything.
Yeah.
You know, your sense of smell, touch, you know, like the latch on it is leather. You know, I didn't want it to be like a janky, like plastic or something like that, because it just, then it's something else now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And would you say that this kind of like elegant or like taking sex more seriously design is indicative of the way that the industry is going, or?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely going that way because of a number of trailblazing women really have made a point of it. And there have been women in the industry for a while, like the founders of Babeland, you know, were really a push for products to be for women and the experience of buying sex toys be friendly. Their staff was always it's always been knowledgeable and stuff. So there's been women around for a while, but as far as and that's like on the retail side, but as far as women making products, I think in the last 5 years there's definitely been a push for that, and you know, they're making, you know, great headway.
I wanted to tie it back to, I remember when you said that you were creating it or thinking about creating it, you asked everyone on Facebook and they kind of slid in the DMs.
Yeah.
So after you released a product, and obviously this was something that people were asking for, albeit in secret, how did you get the feedback? How did you know that people, this is what people wanted? Did they all slide back in the DMs and said, thanks for that. Thanks for sending it to my house, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. One thing that I've learned about people and they're dealing with their duality around sex is to be compassionate towards it. So, you know, I don't have anything about that you, like, don't want to be public about what you like and what you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that are comfortable and some people are not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, it's totally okay. So customers will send me an email, they'll send me, like, you know, a message on Facebook or something, and it's totally cool.
I also read on your website that House of Plume was the first adult brand approved by Kickstarter.
Yes.
Can you talk about, I guess, the process of that? And the importance of that. So did you have pushback from Kickstarter where you had to like kind of break the doors down, or?
What I had to do with Kickstarter is just really educate them on what I was doing. At the time, Kickstarter had a policy about no sex toys.
Very specific.
Very specific.
Like they really, the Texas of internet websites.
And you know, their concern was more from a place of, from what I can get looking at the, you know, reading the policies and whatnot. Their concern was the risk of dealing with people who put things in their bodies, you know, of what could happen, or, you know, anything health related.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody creates a campaign for a pill. It doesn't work. It makes people sick.
Mm.
Something like that. So they kind of just looped it all in and said, okay, sex toys are part of that, too. We don't want to. The risk didn't match the reward, I imagine, when they created these policies. But so what I had to say to them was like, listen, this is actually not a sex toy. It involves sex toys, it stores sex toys, but it doesn't, it's not a sex toy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when they, you know, they took a look at it, they took a little bit, went back and forth, and they were like, okay, it's actually not a sex toy, it's fine.
It's a box.
It's a box.
They sent scientists in. Whoa. Like, this is a sex toy.
They were like looking at it, flipping it upside down. And stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we've also seen like very like newsworthy examples of big internet companies, specifically payment companies, shutting down people's accounts when it seems like what they're doing is related to sex in any sort of way, like PayPal and Chase, and I think Square Cash did it.
Yes.
Have you had any experience with that?
What I'd experience is when I would go open an account, they'd be like, oh, you know, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
What's, and I'm like, oh, I sell, you know, I'm an online store. And, you know, I sell personal accessories, something like that.
Yeah.
I'll just keep it, like, really, you know, sort of vague.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, having a background in compliance, I know exactly what they're looking for to flag.
Yeah.
There's the one reason, you know, there's two reasons why payment processors and all that don't want to deal with sex is that, one, anything, it could go in the world of prostitution. When anything goes in the world of prostitution, then you weren't worrying about if there's like underage sex going on and blah, blah. Oh, we're not making enough money to be bothered with that. Let's just shut the whole thing down.
I see.
The other reason is that the sex industry from, I don't know, the 50s or something like that, from some weird tie to the mob, was considered a high-risk industry. So there's certain industries that banks have it that are high-risk, you know, like pizza parlors because it's, you know, cash-intensive. And, you know, just marijuana dispensaries and stuff like that. And just sex just got, you know, roped into it. And the unfortunate thing is that there are a number of companies that are completely legitimate. And, you know, just because they provide something involving sex does not mean it involves the distribution of sex. So they just, you know, loop it all in, which is also the reason why we are unable to advertise on Facebook.
Your company specifically?
Yeah, like, so anything involving, they flag the word, anything involving sex toys, sex products, what have you, they totally flag. So a number of companies aren't able to do that, unless it's condoms, because that's family planning. It's really, like, kind of dumb.
Yeah.
It is like, when you know, as I'm saying it out loud, it's like, wow, it's dumb.
Yeah. We had an issue with that, too.
Yeah, we
did. I was about to say, when we tried to, we have ho. So they were like, no.
Are you hoeing?
Yeah. Like, no.
It's just a podcast.
We can't even do it.
I wish I was hoeing. I don't get paid.
I should be. I'd let you know if we were. It was like for our live show. So I guess maybe that's kind of like, is this a live show or a live show? And they like blocked it. I don't know why it worked the second time, but the first time they really weren't having it. They're like, it goes against the guidelines, and they just blocked it. We were paying money and everything. They didn't want our money.
Yeah, and it's and it's really, and it's all just the algorithms that they're looking for that word ho, you know, or they're looking for. They're like, yeah, all of that involving those things, we're gonna loop it into that, and you know, we're not gonna bother investigating.
Are there any efforts from, because like you're in Women of Sex Tech, so you're well connected with several people in this industry. Are there any efforts towards combating that on these big websites?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We definitely are. One of our members is in communication with like the leadership at Facebook to actually deal with this. But it's like, how do you make someone care? You know, so it's like, how, you know, what's in it for, you know, question is like, what's in it for them? You know, I think everything going on in the world with, you know, hashtag Me Too and all of that, I think it's an opportunity for these four companies to deal with these topics around sex, and people in this industry are totally just trying to move the conversation forward, and we're not selling ass.
But then there's another conversation to be had there. Like
what if we were?
Decriminalize sex work.
Exactly.
You know? Exactly. And that's that's a total, and that's a totally, it's a different topic. And, you know, I would lean towards decriminalizing it, because taking advantage of people all happens in the shadows.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you were able to just, you know, put it out there and, it would lessen the result of like people
being trafficked.
Being, and then the outcome of people being trafficked, like the crimes that come out of that.
Hey, government, listen up.
You listening?
Decrim sex work. No, not under this administration. So whatever. 3 more years. Are there any other barriers that you faced in starting your company specifically related towards the stigma of like making a product that's geared towards sexuality?
Having a conversation with companies that are either producing other products or what have you, that this is actually a legitimate thing. For example, pitching different retail stores. I had pitched a container store, and I was like, oh, my product would be perfect for the container store.
Yeah, that's really smart.
Yeah, and they were like, no. They're headquartered in Texas. Surprise, surprise.
There you go.
And they were like, no, this, we don't sell these type of products.
In theory, this can be used for anything.
In theory, yes.
It is a container.
It is a container.
It's a clean container.
Exactly. It's a nice looking container.
And even like the feedback I got for pitching retailers of like the materials that I use, like, yeah, don't put the actual toys on the cover. It's all about like playing hide and go seek. You know, you can't, like, the feedback I would get was like, you cannot put sex just out there because it's going to shut people down.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, well, how do I actually describe what this product does? If I can't use the word sex.
And do you do that now? Or have you just found the people who like rock with you?
I found the people that rock with me. And, you know, I play around with it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fine. So this is the level you're at. Let me deal with where you are. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like similar to how like the Hitachi one is still being advertised as a massager.
Oh, is it?
Of course.
It's so funny.
No one calls it like a vibrator. That's like really you go funny. On Amazon and it says it has different settings a for personal your back. Massager. And I'm like, fuck that. I go for a massager. I type it in Amazon as like massager because I know it'll be a great vibrator. It's the same thing.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
That's very funny. And then in terms of barriers, because I mean, capitalism in general, like just the economy, it's white and it's male.
Yeah.
Is the sex tech industry indicative of that as well?
Oh my God, yes.
I knew the answer.
Yes. Yeah, totally. You know, it's so intriguing that the industry is male dominated and they're fairly conservative.
What's up with that?
It's really, really
interesting. I don't get it.
We're looking at you for the answer.
Yeah, like, I just don't get it. Is there some sort of, what's the in? Why are they there? Simply to make money?
Is there like, this is $15 billion industry.
I'm out of oil. Let me just go into like sex tech.
Some of them have been around, a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though they're white males or what have you, they still do have a commitment to, you know, empowering people around their sexuality. So that I'd always commend them for.
Okay, so they're not conservative on that front.
And they're not conservative on that front.
Just everything else.
Yeah. When I would go to the, you know, trade shows and events and stuff, I really got the feeling that they were politically conservative.
Yikes.
Got it.
And where does that kind of come into play? Because those definitely do overlap, like in reproductive rights, for example. Like, where do you think those people lean on that issue?
Yeah, I never got into like political discussions with
probably
them,
for the
like
best.
Yeah, you know, I didn't
say
it, just was like, okay, yeah, conferences or the networking parties, you know, at the you know, at times, like the perception was that I was like a performer or like I was important. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not. No,
yeah,
no, nothing wrong with porn stars, and I'm not a porn star.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so they would just assume because I was either black and a woman that I was in porn, which is the reason why, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, Polly and I co-founded the Women of Sex Tech.
Mm-hmm. Because
I was
like, it's a good segue into
you
that.
Know, like, you know, Polly, I, you know, I'm tired of going to LA and dealing with these douchey guys.
Yeah.
That was a great reason.
Yeah, it was just like, and you know, you're just like kind of sitting there or looking around and going like, wow, I'm like really out of sorts here. And I said, you know, there has to be, you know, women here. Mm-hmm. I've met them. Like, I know that there are women out here that they're in this, they're on the East Coast and they're, you know, in this field. And wouldn't it be great if we all came together instead of operating in silos?
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about the mission of Women of Sex Tech? And
yeah. So, you know, the mission really is to empower women in the industry, to create a space, in the world for people to talk openly about sexuality, and to really to remove any stigmas around what it is to have a company that deals with sex and whatever it is. Like, some of the members are involved in education, some are producers of porn, women focused porn.
Yeah,
you know, one of our early members is Cindy Gallup, who, you know, recently actually got, you know, funding for Make Love Not Porn, and she's been, you know, a really an amazing, you know, supporter of us. It's really about that, really creating community amongst women in the industry and globally. Like, we there are people like, you know, now all over. Some women did a sexathon in Australia.
Cool. What is a sexathon?
You know what a sexathon is?
Not a sexathon, but I'm sorry, like a sex hackathon.
Yeah. Huge difference.
I
don't know what that one is. Sorry. I was like, I know what a sexathon is. I had one last night.
Joke.
You know, what that is basically bringing innovators together, people that either have ideas or apps or what have you, products, and just, you know, brainstorming them out and coming up with something by the end of the weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah.
Can women who podcast about sex join?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay.
And then also, is there any space for, I totally understand the importance of having women inclusive and women only inclusive spaces. Mm-hmm. Is there also a space for gender non-binary people?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Good to know. So we and me and Rebecca just like talking about sex robots a lot. I don't know if you saw that in regards to our talking points, mm-hmm. but just being, because obviously that's as tech as it gets. Yeah, it's a robot.
I would say if we're talking about innovation,
it's a sex robot.
I wonder how they smell.
Wow. That's true.
I mean, I'm assuming they have like their antibacterial.
Yeah. I assume they smell the same as like a vibrator.
I feel like they smell like plastic. Fresh out the pack. Yeah.
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 Well, silicone smells different than.
Hey.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't know what it tastes like. It's just not the turn of thought that I was going with.
Not saying I do.
Yeah, but it smells different than plastic to me. Like, yeah. I don't know. And I always like the texture, so I don't know if they're like, they feel the same. Because that'd be kind of interesting. I've actually never thought of that.
Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I think about is like, what does this think? Like, you know, like, because it's like, it's artificial. So like, what does it smell like?
Yeah, to an extent, I would assume, yeah.
Yeah, like, do you have to air it out?
Let it deflate, like, when it comes out the box.
Yeah.
So we have some really, like, extensive questions about sex robots, and you're the first sex tech person who we've had on the show, so we're going to, like, offload them onto you.
I wrote a paper about sex robots.
This is my gosh.
Yeah, I was passionate.
I did a whole episode of something at my work for sex robots, and I was researching them for, like, a month. No, just a week, not a month. But... there's one sex robot called Samantha, the sex robot, ironically. Mm. No relation.
Mm-hmm. You smile every time.
Her name is so heavy.
Oh, my God. And basically, the creator of Samantha's sex robot is his name, Sergey Santos. Mm-hmm. He was interviewed, and somebody posed the question that sex robots are kind of like, I guess the rise of sex robots might one day put sex workers out of work. And his response was something along the lines of, well, who would want to be a sex worker? And like, that was where it stopped. And I felt like that was a very white male thing of him to do, considering that a lot of sex workers are women of color. I don't know.
What do you think?
Do you have any thoughts about that?
Oh, dear. When the topic of sex robots comes, I feel like I turn into them, my mother. Going, oh, what
you did ask how it smelled off the bat, which is like, a very mom question. What are
y'all doing? Like, what are y'all doing? What y'all doing? What's going on with y'all? What's that?
I think it's like 3 out of 5 men surveyed said that they would own a sex robot.
It was 3 out of 5. I remember it being that high.
If they could afford it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
And it was also 1 out of 6 women, so.
Yeah.
I do know what silicone tastes like, so, you know.
Okay, yeah. See, for me, as a woman, I feel like if you're going to, I don't need you to do that. Like, what I need you to do is, like, go fix something or go cook me something.
Ah, yes.
You know, if I get a robot to do that,
it'd
be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, deal with the cable wires that, like, so annoy me. Can you figure that out? Can you set up... You know, can you set all up the electronics and stuff to make sure that, like, all is working?
And like, humanity just went straight for sex. Like, they didn't even say that.
Now they're backtracking where it's like, let's give Samantha emotion. So she'll talk to you after a long day at work.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And they learn, like, they learn about you so you don't have to re-explain things that you like or hobbies or, like, your favorite color. Like, the next time you speak to her, she'll be like, oh, your favorite color is blue. Yeah. So it's more than that.
They're trying to make it so that the spouses of the future are sex robots.
Basically.
Essentially spouse robots one day, which dating is hard. Lydia's like,
what are y'all doing? What y'all doing? What you doing, baby?
Oh, no, baby.
I'm sorry. I feel like you're my aunt, and I feel so ashamed.
I mean,
well, we're gonna throw another one at you right now.
I think that for people who are like starved for connection or yeah. are needing connection, mm-hmm. you know, which is a huge problem in modern society. Mm-hmm. People are, you know, you're strapped to your cell phones. People walk around, you know, like all in their phone, not engaging with people. And it has caused people to be like emotionally detached, mm-hmm. right? So I get the value of, you know, having, and whether it's a person or an inanimate object to mm-hmm. to be able to foster that, because that's what, you know, stays off the loneliness and the depression
yeah.
that's rampant in our society. So I get that. I just don't know if, like, whatever happens with humans chemically, you know, when there's human touch, if robots would ever, that they can actually replicate, replace that yeah. or mm-hmm. replicate that. You know, babies die without touch.
Yeah. yeah.
If, you know, science can work that out, or if the same thing that happens with you chemically, with you, when you engage with a sex robot, is the same thing that would happen if you engage with a human being, then okay, great. Mm-hmm. You know, go ahead and do it. But mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I think people are, sometimes we create things, products, services for a fix. You can't replace humanity.
Sci-fi would say otherwise.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. They are working on it.
Mm, the round table of humanity.
Yeah. No, that's a good answer. But yeah. like, I'm not sure if they will, but in short, they are working on it with like heating sensors
and
like
trying.
Supple sure. skin and like lubricating sex mm-hmm. robots and stuff. So mm-hmm. they're trying to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you went to that like emotional connection, because I did that. I think the first time we ever posed it, I was like, it would be nice if, like, you know, they're just doing it to like find a companion, and you know, because mm-hmm. that's the happy ending of it. But there's right. also the flip side of the coin, where according to Feminist Current, sex robots epitomize patriarchy and offer men a solution to the threat of female independence.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
Wow, that's pretty deep.
Whoa,
I didn't know you were gonna use that quote.
Whoa. That's yeah.
Yeah,
that's right on. That makes complete sense, because now you don't have to change. In order for us to take down patriarchy, men will have to change.
Yeah.
They will. There's a change in behavior that would yeah. be required. And you don't have to do that if you program something to your liking.
That's true.
Yikes, man.
See?
Fucking horrifying.
You think to yourself, like, yeah. yeah, you know, they just want a companion. But it's also like they're programming somebody so that you don't have to, oh, you don't have your own opinion. You have all the opinions that I created.
You'll
for
do
you.
Whatever I
You'll
say.
You'll do whatever I say. I want. It's just like reinforcing
mm-hmm.
the yeah. shit that you're already doing.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. Because you'd like to think that not all men are doing that, but also patriarchy is ingrained in all men.
I'm gonna start checking men's closets. Like,
you got a sex robot back here.
What you doing right? here? Let me go. You got a sex robot. What's under the bed? I need to see. Forget all. I don't want to see your phone. Let's see if you got a sex robot in here.
Go
somewhere.
Through his closet.
Yeah. That's how you know. That's how you know.
Yeah. They're only like $5,000. Like,
they're,
that's
they're
not,
getting
I mean,
cheaper.
That's a lot of money, but
they're
that's not
cheaper.
A huge
they will,
ass.
They will get cheaper.
Yeah.
You know, technology will make it, will totally
exactly.
make it cheaper.
Exactly. Yikes. Mm.
If he got $5,000 in his pocket, you might have a sex robot in his
bed. Yeah, yeah.
You never know.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's
man.
The future.
My mother said we were heading down the wrong path, and now we... She's right.
End of times.
Here we are. We headed down the wrong path. Yeah.
Well, some might say we're headed down the right path with what you're doing.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
sex tech and
right.
House of Plume.
Yeah.
So why do you think it's important for women of color to even be involved in the sex tech industry?
Representation.
Yeah.
You know, it's simply, you know, representation. People have different experiences around sex, definitely because of their culture, their upbringing, and, you know, what you're exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
People of color, particularly, like, I'm, you know, Black, Hispanic, Black, Latina, mm-hmm. and, you know, sex was totally frowned upon, you
yeah.
know? Like, we just did not talk about it. My mother showed me a picture of a fortress, and she said, you are to be the closed fortress and not the open fortress.
Oh, man.
And
yeah.
don't let boys touch you. That was the extent of my... Sexual,
the talk
yep. right yeah. that was it,
which is what a lot of people get.
Yeah,
yeah, that's in that
I didn't get the talk.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. So it meant, like, you know, being educated by boys, who don't know what they're doing.
Who want to buy sex
robots. So, so, and then also, and then being educated by, you know, girls my own age who was just, who were just as confused. Mm-hmm. And you're just, you know, out there fooling around until you're like 25, yeah. You know, and then when that, you start to like question, like, what, does this make sense? Or, you know, is this what I should be doing? You know, luckily now, you know, there's so many more resources available to people to deal with what they don't know around sex. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was like, it was, you know, playing around.
Yeah. Yeah. And what advice would you give to women of color who are not in the sex tech industry, but are looking to get a foot in the door?
You're Black and it's okay.
Sometimes you got to be reminded. I get it.
I had to tell myself that this morning.
It's, but yeah, it's more like you're never going to be anything else other than what you are. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Don't try to be anything other than who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay to stand out.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice. Mm-hmm. And that was a really good interview. Thank you so much for being here. Anywhere that people can follow you on the internet.
You can follow me on the internet at House of Plume. Also at Pleasure Revolution. I'm actually doing, I started a pleasure challenge, a 1-year pleasure challenge. Cool. So for 365 days, I'm doing one thing a day that is pleasurable.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow, that was such a great interview.
She was great.
Yeah.
I think that we attacked her with the sex robots, but it was great.
It was great. I also appreciated her response because she was just like, I'm an aunt and I don't care about this bullshit.
It was so good though. It was authentic. And she still had something to say about it. So that's why I'm like, we got to fuel our fire for sex robots. I feel like this is gonna be the question no matter who the guest is now. It's just gonna be like, so how do you feel about sex robots?
Until we have Samantha the sex robot on herself.
Oh my God, did you see
Will Smith? I like you very much as person.
Did you see Will Smith with like that AI?
I saw the pictures, but I didn't actually watch it. He was with Sophia, right?
Yeah.
If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so by going to @InnerHoeUprising without the G on Twitter, @InnerHoeUprising on Instagram and Facebook, and InnerHoeUprising.com to pay a hoe or check out merchandise. You can also follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. And fuck Snapchat, because we don't use that shit no more, B.
I need to get off Snapchat.
What is it doing for you? Are you getting dick pics?
I'm just lurking and watching other people. But you can also follow me on Snapchat at Keep Your Heart. I probably won't keep Snapchat for very long, to be honest.
Okay.
Because Instagram stories are live now.
One time only special.
Yeah. You know, get it while it's hot, guys. Hot. Hey. You can also follow me at Rebby or Not on Twitter and Instagram. And people are still following me on Tumblr. So no need to make believe a Tumblr for all of the porn that I have on there.
That's what I was going
to
say. Is it just porn?
It's just porn.
Yay.
Bye. Have a good night.